The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
The Gemara brings in Masechet Shabbos, Daf Chof Aleph Amud Beis. Tana Rabbanan. The rabbis taught Mitzvah Chanukah near Ishu Beisoy. The Mitzvah of Chanukah is for the head of the household to light one candle for the entire household each day. V'mahadrin near Lechol Echad Ve'echad. Those who want to beautify the Mitzvah, so they light one candle for each person of the household. Mahadrin mina mahadrin. And those who want to even do even better, beautify the mitzvah even more, Beishame Aimrim Yemirishin Madlik Shmaina, Mikan Veilech Pechis Veheilech. Beishame says that on the first day you light 8 candles, the second day you light 7 candles, the third day you light 6 candles. Beisilo Aimrim, and Beisilo says, Yom Rishain Madlik Achas, the first day you light one candle, Mikan Ve'elech Meisi Ve'elech, the second day you light 2 candles, the third day you light 3 candles, and so forth. Beisilo, he holds that the Mahadrin Min Mahadrin, the most beautiful way and the very best way you can fulfill the mitzvah is that on the first day, this is Ner Chanukah, the first day you light one candle, the second day 2 candles, the third day 3 candles, and so forth. Actually, it's a question if that goes on every individual of the household or only the master of the household. But nevertheless, this is what Beisilo holds. Beishame holds to the contrary. Now the Gemara goes into their timing, their reasons. So the Gemara gives various reasons for each one. But one of the reasons given for Beis Hillel is Demalin Bekodesh Ve'ein Moridin. That when you're dealing with matters of Kedusha, with matters of Kedusha, you have to work in an ascending order, not a descending order. Not where you will light 8 candles one day and then you'll decrease the amount of candles, but rather you start with the small amount so you can increase each day. Malin Bikdusha Ba'in Marin Bikdusha. When we deal with matters of Kedusha, of sanctity, Torah mitzvahs, we must constantly do it in a way in which we constantly increase, not decrease, in which we constantly ascend and not descend. This is the reason given for the Beis Hillel. Rashi brings Mikroy Alfinan Lob Bemanoches Beperik Shtei Alechem. This principle, where does it come from? We darshan it, we learn it from a posuk, from what is written in the Torah. And this the Gemara elaborates in Masechta Menoches, Daf Tzadik Tes Omer Aleph. The Gemara in Menoches, Daf Tzadik Tes Omer Aleph, the Gemara brings speaking about the Lechem Aponim. These were the breads. There were 12 loaves, very large, and they were placed on the Shulchan Shel Zohov. There was a golden table, which Moshe Rabbeinu was commanded to make in the Mishkan, in the sanctuary. Later on, it was brought into the Beis HaMikdash that Shlomo HaMelech built in Harabais in Yerushalayim. And every Erev Shabbos, so there were new loaves put. Actually, yeah, they were put on Shabbos. They were baked Erev Shabbos, and they were placed on the table, 12 loaves on Shabbos, and the other loaves were removed. So the Gemara says, in the entry chamber, before we came into the Kodesh is where the Shulchan, the table was, there were two other tables there. Echot shel kesev, echot shel zohov. One was of silver, and the other was of gold. Al shel kesev nosen lechem haponim b'knisosei, v'al shel zohov b'yitziosei. When the Kohanim would carry in the loaves of bread, as mentioned, they were large, and there were 12 of them. So along the way, they would set them down to rest. So there were two tables outside of the Kodesh, where the golden Shulchan was. And these two tables, one was silver, and one was made out of silver, and one was made out of gold. When they carried the loaves in, they placed the loaves on the silver table. And then they would take them further into the Kodesh, and they would put them on the proper Shulchan. When they brought the loaves out, that was after they were there for the week, and they brought the loaves out, they did not put them on the golden table, which was outside of the Kodesh. Excuse me. They did not put them on the silver table, but rather on the golden table. So now there's the question, why? That means that when they carried the breads in, before they came into the Kodesh, they rested them on the silver table. Then they took them to the golden table, which was in the Kodesh, in the sanctuary. When they carried the breads out, they did not rest them on the silver table, but rather on the golden table. Now the question is, why? Why did they change this order? So the Gemara says, because Malin Bikdusha Ve'ein Meridin, that whenever we deal with matters of Kedusha, it has to be in an ascending order, not a descending order. And therefore, we first put them on a silver table in order that when we bring them into the Kodesh, we could raise the level to put them on the golden table. But once they were put on the golden table, we weren't allowed to bring them back out and put them on the silver table, because that would be a yerida, that would be descending. So therefore, we had to put them on the golden table. This is what the Gemara brings. And this is what Rashi brings here. Bias in Hanukkah, that Beisila holds that the first day you light one candle, the second day two candles, to constantly increase, to constantly ascend the order, not to descend. And then Rashi mentions that this was learned from a posuk. So what are the psukim? So the Gemara brings Uminolon. How do we know? So Gemara says, firstly, how do we know Deimarin? How do you know you can't descend? So the Gemara brings by Yokam by excuse me. This is a posuk in Parshas Pekudei, Shmeis Mem posuk Yud Ches, after Moshe was commanded to build the entire Mishkan and all the sanctuary and all of the vessels and everything that went with it. It states, Vayokem Moshe es ha-Mishkon, Vayiten es Adonov, Vayosem es Krosho, Vayiten es Bricho, Vayokem es Amudov. Moshe himself went and he erected the entire sanctuary, every part of it, the Adonim, those were the basis for the for the upstanding boards, the kroshim. These were the upstanding boards that created the walls of the Mishkan, and so forth. Now, what the proof is from there, Rashi gives three possible explanations. But the simplest explanation he brings is because why do we see that Moshe started to erect the Mishkan and he finished it? So he wanted to start in the midst for good, but later on the other Kahanim could have come and helped him. We see no. Because Moshe was the greatest. And had other Kahanim come to help him, that would be a descent. That would be a descent in the Kedusha. So therefore, Moshe had to carry it through. Rashi, in Masechta Megillah, the beginning of Perek B'nei Ha'ir, Dav Chof Vov, Reish Omer Aleph, brings from a Tesefta, where it says slightly differently. It states that who was the one that made the entire Mishkan, who supervised everything? That was Bezalel. So why is it that Bezalel did not have a hand in erecting the Mishkan, but it was all by Moshe? Because Malin Bekodesh ve'ein Meridin. Because that would have been a Yerida, that would have been a descent. Because Moshe was greater than Bezalel. So therefore, we had to use this ascending order. Now, the Gemara, from this aspect, we see Ein Meridin. Actually, the drosha that Rashi says by us is more specific, because that's speaking about Ein Meridin. The other actually is speaking about Malin. Now the Gemara says, how do we know, all right, you can't descend, but how do we know that you have to keep trying to ascend, to go up? So Gemara brings a different source from that. And that's in Parshas Kerach, Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Gimel. What took place there? If we look in the previous psukim, when Korach and his band of 250 people came to challenge the authority of Moshe Rabbeinu, so Moshe said, all right, we'll test it out. Let everyone take the vessels in which they used to sacrifice the incense, and a special vessel which was made from a copper. And inside it, they would put incense and fire, so you would have burning incense, and they would use this to bring it al gabi ha-mizbeach on top of the altar. Let everyone prepare such a vessel of burning incense. And Korach and his band of men were challenging the kohuna, the priesthood. Why was it given to Aaron? Korach also was from the children of Levi, and he wanted the priesthood. So let Aaron and his sons also do that, and then we'll see which ones HaKadosh Baruch Hu will accept. So they all did this. Ukehu ish machtosai, unesatem aleim ketores, vikraftem lifnei Hashem ish machtosai. So everyone took this vessel, and he put the burning incense into it, and each one brought it before Hashem. Chamishim omasai machtes, 250 of them. Ba'atov Aaron ish machtosai. And Aaron and his children also should do that. V'eish yotze me'eish Hashem. And a fire came then. Vateichales ha-chamishim o-masayim ish mi-makrivei haktores. Fire came and consumed the 250 people of Korach's band. So they were consumed in the fire. Now, these vessels were still around. The vessels were not consumed. So it was a question what to do with the vessels. And the vessels were used to prepare a sacrifice to Hashem. So therefore they were Kodesh. So the Torah tells us, Yud Zayin Posuk Gimel, Eish machteis ha-chatoim ha-eile b'nafshei seichem v'asu eisam rikuei pachim tzipoi l'mizbeach ki hikribum lifnei Hashem v'yikadoshu v'yikdoshu v'oyu le'os lifnei Yisrael. Since they were once used to bring a sacrifice to Hashem, so now they were Kodesh, they were holy. So we could not just discard them. So the question is, what was to be done with them? The kapur was to be taken from them, melted down, and placed on the walls of the Mizbeach, Mizbeach HaNechoshes, the kapur altar. And they would become part of the altar itself. So the Gemara says that Bitchila Tashmishe Mizbeach, Va'achsho Gufeshe Mizbeach. Before we see that they were something used for the altar, and now we see they became part of the altar itself. Mikan, the Malin Bekdusha, the Emarin. So from here we see that when we have something and we have to change it over to something else, and it's Kodesh, you got to raise its standard. You got to improve on its standard. Before it was something used for the altar, now it must become part of the Mizbeach itself, the altar itself. We find a similar Gemara, a similar principle in the Gemara Masechta Megillah Daf Tes Amud Beis. The Gemara brings Sanya Ira by Psul became Godel. You have a Kohen Godel. He was the Godel Mikol Echov, the great priest. And what would happen before he had to do the Avoda? This was in particular for Yom Kippur, because during the course of the year, so generally, you use the Kohen Godel could do the service, or another Kohen could. But on Yom Kippur, the Avoda service was only kosher with the Kohen Godel. So we must have a Kohen Godel, the great, the high priest. What would happen if Ira Bei Psul, that right before Yom Kippur, for some reason, he was disqualified. And it was a temporary disqualification. So there we had to anoint another Kohen Godel in his stead. Now comes the question, is what happens when the original Kohen Godel becomes qualified again? In other words, that temporary disqualification passes by. So the original one becomes qualified again. So he returns to his post. That's no problem. Turns to his post. Problem is what do we do with the second one? Does he also remain a Kohen Godel? Or does he become a Kohen Hedyot, a regular Kohen? What happens? So it's a discussion. It's actually a dispute in the Gemara. Ira by Psul, Umina Kohen Acher Tachtov, Rishen Chesel Avodaisai, the first one returns to his post once he's qualified again. Sheni, the second Kohen Godel, Yebiesi Omar, Eina Roy Leila Kohen Godel with Leila Kohen Hedyot. He can no longer serve as a Kohen Godel or as a Kohen Hedyot. Can't serve as a Kohen anymore. Why? The Kohen Godel Mishum Eva. He can't serve as a Kohen Godel because we can't have two Kohanim Gedayim. We can only have one. See, so we can't have two, so therefore he can't serve as a Kohen Godel. So let him become the regular Kohen then. The Kohen Hedyot Mishum Malim Kodesh Ve'en Marid. He can't serve as a regular Kohen because that'll be a Yerida, that'll be a descent from his Kedusha. So he has to retire. See? Once you're a Kohen Godel, and no longer you can serve as a Kohen Godel, then you have to retire. You can't serve as a Kohen Hedyot because that's a descent to his Kedusha. And the halach is Malin Ve'en Merid. Another example we have from this is a Mishnah. Again in Masechta Megillah, in Perek B'nei Ha'ir, the Mishnah says, so at the beginning of B'nei Ha'ir, it states, B'nei Ha'ir Shemochru Recheva Shel Ir. The city had a public square, the Jewish city, and they had the public square, which they was owned by the city, and the city was Jewish. And that public square was used many times for tefillos. If they wanted a gathering, and they wanted a great number of people, and there wasn't a shul big enough to hold all of those people, so they would call them together in the public square. They had to say special tefillos. You know, there was a drought, or heaven forbid, a war, or whatever it would be. So that public square, because of that, had kedusha. Had sanctity. But it didn't have it had sanctity, but not a lot of sanctity, because it was not used, bikfius, it was not used all the time for the tefillah. Now they decide, for whatever reason, it has to be, there are all kind of halachas when this is justified, when they may, but they decide that they want to sell it, and api halacha, according to the halacha situation, justifies it. Question is, what should they do with the money? So it says, with the money that they receive for it, like they sell it off to a private individual, so the money that they receive to it, from it, is kodesh, because that public square had kedusha. So therefore, that money must be used also for something that is kodesh. Leichim bedomo beis hakneses. They must buy a beis hakneses, a shul, with it. Because a shul has more sanctity than the public square. So they must buy at least a shul with it. What happens if they sold a shul? Again, under justified circumstances, al pi halacha. And they get the money from it, so the money is kodesh. What can they do with the money? They can't do anything, just anything they want with the money. The money has a kedusha of beis hakneses, of a shul. Lechin teva. They cannot buy a public square with it. They cannot even buy another shul with it. This becomes a shaila question. They must buy an oran to keep the sifrei Torah. Teva, what happens if they sell an oran? Lechimat poches. They must buy the mantlich for the sefer Torah. What happens if they sell the mantlich for the sefer Torah? What do they do with the money? They must buy the Nevi'im, the scrolls of the Nevi'im, where the prophets are written on. What happens if they sell the scrolls of the Nevi'im? Then they must buy a sefer Torah with it. But the converse, if for some reason the Torah was sold, they're not allowed to buy Nevi'im, the prophets, with it. If the scrolls of the prophets were sold, they're not allowed to buy mantlich for a sefer Torah. If the mantlich from the sefer Torah was sold, they're not allowed to buy an oren. If the oren was sold, they're not allowed to buy with the money a shul. If the shul was sold, they're not allowed to buy a public square with it. And the Gemara says, why? And the Rashi, because malin bekodesh ve'ein marin. Because whenever something has kedusha in it, and now you're going to change it, you have to raise it up, not bring it down. With the money that they receive from the public square, they can buy a shul, because a shul has more kedusha than the public square. But for example, if they sell the shul, they can't buy the public square with it, because that would be marin. Malim b'kedusha ve'ein marin. The Gemara brings a similar halacha in Chof Zayin, where the Amar Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Beis HaKnesses Muta La'aseisei Beis HaMedrash, that if you have a Beis HaKnesses is a Mokum Yuchad L'Tfilah, a place where they were set aside for Tfilah, for davening, and you want to change it over into a Beis HaMedrash, where it will be a place set aside to learn Torah, this is allowed. But if you have a Beis HaMedrash, a place which is set aside to learn Torah, and you want to change it over to a shul where it will be just set aside for tefillah, this is not allowed. Because malim bekodesh ve'ein marin. And the same thing with the money of it. The Gemara goes even further. The Gemara in Chof Zayin says, what happens if a person has a sefer Torah and it's old? And you would like a new sefer Torah. A new sefer Torah is very expensive. So he'll sell the old sefer Torah and use the money towards the new sefer Torah. So the Gemara is not so sure if you're allowed to. Because once you sell the old, because the new sefer Torah doesn't have any more kedusha than the old sefer Torah, just because it's new or old. So they both have the same kedusha, the same sanctity. Once you sell the new sefer Torah, the old sefer Torah, so that money has the kedusha, the sanctity of a sefer Torah. Now you're going to buy another sefer Torah with it. Simona says, that's not an Eloi. You're not raising the standard. It's the same. The only thing is, there's no way you can raise the standard, because there's nothing more kodesh in the sefer Torah. So the Gemara says like this, Ma'olim ke sefer Torah yoshen likach bechodesh. Kiven delei malilei osir. Since you're not raising the sanctity of the money from whatever sanctity it had before. Therefore, you're not allowed to. Dilma kiven de lek laluye iluy achrino shapedomi. Or perhaps in this case it's permissible because there's no way to raise it. Therefore, it's permissible. So we see from there that even where we may, once you change the situation, you change it, but it remains the same, that also one's not allowed to do. Because mali mikdosh, because you have to be mali mikdusha. Here it's different because there's no way you could raise it. See, this is what we see from this Gemara. Another example we have is in Shulchan Aruch, Aruch Chaim, Reishim and Chofei. And this, almost everybody should be familiar with. When you come in to shul in the morning, and you have to put on talis and tefillin, so there's a question, what should you put on first, your talis or your tefillin? Here, your tefillin you should put on first, because the tefillin is far more kodesh than the talis. Okay? The talis is a heftzei de mitzvah. It's an article which a mitzvah is performed with, but it has no kedusha, it has no sanctity. That's why one would be allowed to take it in unclean places. Or, if it's old, as long as you don't disgrace it, it's all right. But the tefillin, Sefer Torah, mezuzahs, and tefillin have kedusha because it has the Shem Hashem written. So you should do what's more kodesh. So no, the halacha is not like that. The halacha is that ache shalovish talis mitzu yetzitz yaniach tefillin. First you put on your talis, and then you put on your tefillin. Shemalin bekodesh ve'ein barin. Because the pattern always has to be where you ascend, not where you descend. So you put on what is least kodesh first, and then you add more kedusha to it. And that Mishnah Berurah brings in his Be'er Halacha from the Eliyahu Rabba and the Vilna Gaon, and they say as follows: Ala Odom Koi. Now, who we mean Maleh, who we mean Marin? Are we talking about the Talis? Are we talking about the Tefillin? No, we're not talking about the Talis, we're not talking about the Tefillin, because you're not changing, you're not doing anything to them. Talk about the person. Ala Odom Koi. Shetzorech Leilech Madrega Midargo Madrega Ledargo. Person has to go when he walks in Kedusha, it cannot be downwards, it cannot be level. It has to go one step and higher and higher and higher. Lis Aleph Bekdusha, where he constantly is ascending. Ki mitchila hu rak mechase etzatzma bikisu shel mitzvah. First he puts on merely an article of mitzvah, that's the talis. And then with the tefillin, he binds himself with something which is actually kodesh, the Shem Hashem, the names of Hashem. So he's raising himself. If he would do it in the other order, he would be descending. Malin bekodesh ve'emarid. From these examples, there are many, but from these examples, and from what we have in the Sugi of Hanukkah, we see these principles. That firstly, we see that many times we bedafka look for the smallest level to start with in order that we can go in an ascending order. That's A. B, we see that when you do go from step to step, or there's some change of situation, it cannot be level. C, it must always be in an ascending order. And D, and certainly it cannot be merid, cannot be descending. So these are the principles that we see from this halacha. Now all of this needs iyun, all of this needs thought as to why. See, why for? In regards to the first principle that we find many times, we are instructed to start at the smallest point in order that we will be going in ascending order, like by Ner Hanukkah. Beis Shammai says you start with 8 candles. Beis Hillel says no. You start with 8 candles, you're going to have to descend. Better start with the smallest point so you can ascend. So in regards to this, this we can understand very well. This is not only in order that we can follow a pattern of ascension, but because it's impossible for the person to come to higher levels in Kedusha if he has not first gone through the stage of the lower levels. And he will not be able to come to higher levels through Derech Kefitzo. Kefitzo means to jump from one place to the other, skipping primary levels. And this is an impossibility. And this is written in many, many places by the Maral Prague and by the Vilna Gaon. And they were people that came to very, very high levels. A person can only reach stage 2 after he's gone through stage 1. He can only reach stage 3 after he's gone through stage 2. He can only reach stage 10 after he's gone through the first 9 stages. And therefore he has to start at the lowest level if he wants to go to higher levels. If he jumps from stage 1 to stage 10, he will never be on stage 10. Or even if he jumps from stage 1 to stage 3. And therefore, when it comes, for example, the Neshel Hanukkah, the miracle of Hanukkah, the miracle of Hanukkah grew each day, the sages tell us, because for a pach shel shemen, a flask of oil, that should burn just one day, and it burns 2 days, that's a great miracle. Burns 3 days, that's a greater miracle, compounded. Burns 4 days, is even a greater miracle, compounded. Now these miracles that took place on Hanukkah engraved themselves in the time of Hanukkah, in the world, and in the person. So the person is ascending, he's growing, correlating to the miracles of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When there's a miracle, you have the Yad Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hand. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu made these great miracles during Hanukkah, which was an enormously difficult time. And there were great, great victories for Israel. So all these miracles came to the world, and the world was raised up, and the person is raised up. And again, this happens every Hanukkah. He's not going to be able, Beis Hillel says, to come to that level of that seventh day miracle or eighth day miracle without first coming to the level of the first day miracle or the second day miracle. Therefore, maschilin be'echot, you start with one candle, and your helich umaysif step by step every day. Because malim bekodesh, this is the only way you will come up to levels of kedusha. The same is when you come to put on talis and tefillin. You want to reach the lofty level of wearing the tefillin of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that binds you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not so easy. Can't just walk into it. So first you have to reach the level of talis, where you are encircled with the mitzvahs of Hashem. Then and only then can you come to the level of tefillin. And the same thing with the lechem aponim. It wasn't not so easy to come with the offering to HaKadosh Baruch Hu of the lechem and go right away to the gold table. So first it had to reach the level of the silver table. And then it can reach the level of the gold table. If it would jump from outside to inside, from nothing to the gold table, that's not the level of the gold table. That's a false level. And eventually it would crash. Therefore, Malin Bekodesh Ve'en Morin. Now, actually, you could ask that what we are saying is not great chidushim. This is not great wisdom. Because if you look at the whole world, the whole physical world, this is the way of the world. How does anything grow in the world? It grows step by step. It doesn't skip steps. If you look at nature, first something is a seed, then it becomes a little plant, then it becomes a bigger plant, then it can become a sapling, then it becomes a tree, then it becomes a great tree. It doesn't go from a seed to a tree. If you look how the embryo grows, and the fetus grows, and the child grows, step by step by step. First he learns how to move his hands, his fingers, his hands, then his arm, then his shoulders, then his legs. Then he starts to turn over, and then he starts to crawl, and then he tries to stand, and then he tries to walk. And if you have a child that is going to skip those steps, he's an abnormal child, Chas v'Shalom. And his growth is not going to be at all proper and normal. So, what is the big deal, what we're saying? No. If you notice, the Chazal said, Malin v'kodesh v'eimarim. We're talking about dvorim shel kedusha, things of sanctity. We're not talking about the physical world. Why? Because, yes, this principle is true in the physical world. But it's different when you come to the world, to the physical world, or to the non-physical world, the Gashmi or the Bilti Gashmi, or the Olam Shel Kedusha, for two reasons. Growth in the physical world is comparatively very, very easy for the person. It's not easy to create such growth. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu did, that's his great miracles. But for the person, it's very easy. And that's why we find that a person, in many cases, grows almost by himself. The child doesn't have to go to university to study how to grow. He knows what to do, instinctively. A person grows even physically even when he's sleeping. A person doesn't have to labor to grow physically. And not only that, even if we do not need his intent and will, even if he doesn't want to grow, he's going to grow. And that's because the person is a Bala Adoma. A person comes from the earth. This is his world. He's at home here. And growth, HaKadosh Baruch Hu incorporated in the very core of the creation. And he was decreed that things should grow, and therefore they grow, even if the person doesn't want to grow. He has to do very little to help it along. When it comes to Kedusha, that's a different story. There we're talking about growing in a world which is non-physical. And that's a world which is a different world altogether from him. And growth there doesn't come by itself. Not at all. Growth there only comes with enormous labor, enormous will, enormous intent. Otherwise, the person will not grow at all there. And he can't go to sleep and grow during his sleep. So that's one difference between growth in this world and growth in the levels of Kedusha, Madregas HaKedusha. The second difference, the Maral always says a principle. When it comes to Gashmi, when it comes to anything that's physical, it always has a dimension, which means that there's an end to it. It's not endless. So therefore, all growth in the physical world has dimensions. There's only so much you will grow, only so tall, only so this, so that, whatever. Every growth, every gidel, has its specifications, its dimensions, its beginnings, its ends. So there's only so much you can grow. When it comes to the non-physical world, the non-physical world has no dimensions. Dimensions is part and parcel with matter, physical matter. So the non-physical world has no dimensions. It has no dimensions of physical matter or of time or space. That's why it's called Olam HaNetzach. It is a world where time does not prevail. It carries on endlessly. And therefore the growth in that world is endless. In other words, we know a person can grow. Physically, he can grow to weigh so many pounds. He can grow to be so many meters tall. He can grow to be so many years old. In every facet, if we measure away every part of the human being or every part of the creation, there's what is known as a shiur, a dimension and a limitation. What is the limitation that a person can grow in Kedusha? The sages tell us thousands upon thousands upon thousands of levels of madrigas, on eight kates. Ein Sof, there is no end. It is endless. That's what we find. We compare ourselves to people, to great sages that lived 15, 20 years ago, and we say, we can't compare ourselves. And they compare themselves to people that lived 20 years before them. We can't compare, there's no comparison. And then it goes to 20 years before them, and 20 years before them, and 100 years before them, and 200 years before them. And then you come to the Rambam and the Ramban. They asked the Vilna Gaon, who can compare himself to the Vilna Gaon? They asked him, you're as great as the Rambam. He said, if I would live 1,000 years, perhaps I would come to the Ramban, but not to the Rambam. And then you talk about the Rambam, or you ask the Rambam if he comes to the Amoraim, to the rabbis of the Gemara, he would be shocked with such a question. And then there's the rabbis of the Gemara, compared to the sages, to the Tanoim, to the rabbis of the Mishnah. And who's yet talking about the Oves? Avram, Yitzchok, Yaakov, Yosef, David. And that's why the Gemara says that if you want to know really the difference in growth, Imheim kemalochim onu kebnei adam. This is what the rabbis of the Gemara says. If the previous ones were like angels, then we are like men. Imheim kebnei adam onu kechamorim. And if they were like men, you should know we are like donkeys. This is what the rabbis of the Gemara said. Then they said, and not like the chamor of Pinchas ben Yoya. Pinchas ben Yoya had a special donkey. He says, not like that donkey. And the reason is because it's brought there are thousands upon thousands upon thousands of levels of Kedusha that a person grows or can grow, and he has the potential growth for. So there's two reasons. Yes, this principle is a simple principle in physics. It's a simple principle in mathematics. It's a simple principle in everything of the physical world, and everyone would say who should know that. But we're speaking of something else, because that's a growth that has a limitation. That's a growth which has a dimension. That's a growth that a person, the person is in his own habitat. Even animals grow. Even plants grow. And this is all done through the creation. Therefore, the person can go to sleep and he can also grow. So we don't have to give so many rules and regulations when it comes to growth. But when it comes to Kedusha, to grow levels in Kedusha, levels in Torah, there the Chazal say we're talking about something else. There the person's not in his own habitat. He's trying to climb into worlds beyond him. And there it has to be Malin, Be'ein Marim, step by step by step. And endless, it can go to endless heights. And that's why we see that there's an observation here. You see, we could say like this. The first time you put on talis and tefillin, put your talis on first, and then put your tefillin on. Because you have to slowly work yourself to the level of tefillin. See, there's an observation that the first time you put on your talis and tefillin. So first put on your talis and then your tefillin so you can reach that height of tefillin. But now the next day, why do you have to do it again? You've already reached the height of tefillin. So why do you have to put the talis on first again? The same thing on Hanukkah. Last Hanukkah, we already reached the level of 8. So why do we have to start from step 1 again? Or the same thing perhaps with the lechem aponim. Every week they brought in the lechem. So why each time do they have to start with the silver table to work up to the gold table? They've already worked up to the gold table. And perhaps this would be true in the physical world. So we see, because we're dealing with a different world. And there, even when you gain a level, the next day though you have to labor to reach that level again. And you have to start with the talis again to come to the tefillin. And every Hanukkah, even last Hanukkah, we reached that level of 8. But we have to start at step 1 again to reach it. It doesn't mean, though, that the second Hanukkah has no growth over the first Hanukkah. It means that if you'll start at step 1 on the second Hanukkah again, you'll reach 8, but even greater dimensions in 8 than you did last Hanukkah, if you're a person that's constantly growing. It means that when you put on your talis and tefillin, every day you can come to greater dimensions in tefillin than the day before, but you have to start again from the bottom. Because we're talking about levels which are beyond the person, way beyond the person, and therefore they're not easy to attain or to maintain. Now, what about Meriden? We said you have to ascend in order to reach that. But now we see that there's a great objection to do anything that is descent. If it has to do with an article of Kedusha. If you sold the shul, you have the money, you got to buy something which is more Kodesh than the shul. Not less Kodesh than the shul, because it's a descent. Or the same thing by the person himself. Why are we so concerned that there should not be a descent? Now, this is also something which is very profound. The Maral writes this in the Agodas Hashas to Menoches, and also in Shabbos in the Sugi of Hanukkah. When a person ascends to a certain level, he has acquired, he has made a kinyan, an acquisition in that level, and that becomes part of him.
or if an article was used for a certain level, it acquires kedusha, and that becomes part of the article. If there is a yerida to it, if you're married, if you bring it down, you have destroyed that dimension of kedusha, of sanctity, that's found in the person or that's found in the article. If a person comes to a certain level, and that level now is his, becomes part of him. And if from there he will descend, it's a hefsid, it's a loss. He's destroying that kedusha. And that we're not allowed to do. And therefore, ein merim, when something served at a certain level, you cannot be married. You cannot bring it down. In the article or in yourself. The Mishnah Novice in Perigimel Mishnah Ches says, and actually the Gemara brings this also in that Sugyan Menoches, it says as follows. Reb Dostoy, Reb Yanai, Mishum Remeya Eimer. Kol HaShecheach, Dover Echod, Mimishnosoy. Whoever forgets one thing from one halacha, from his Mishnah, Malolov HaKosuv, Ki Ilo Mishchayev Benafshoy. The Torah looks at this as if he is guilty with his life. As it states, guard yourself and guard your life carefully, lest you forget what you have seen or what you have learned. So the Torah tells us, guard your life carefully that you do not forget what you have learned. That seems to imply that if you do forget, your life is in danger. Then the Gemara says, "Yochel afilu tokva lo mishnosei." But what, is this even if, let's say, he gets old, and this is why he forgets, or because of other such reasons as that? Talmud lema pen yisurim elovecha kol yimechayecha ina mischayvat shiyoshe v'yasir me'libay. No, it's speaking about someone. The commentaries come to the conclusion that it's speaking about someone who either wants to forget his Torah that he learned, or through negligence he forgets his Torah. For example, he learned Torah and he doesn't care that much about it, so he doesn't bother reviewing it, he doesn't bother learning it over again, and therefore that's why he forgets. So if a person forgets his Torah because of those reasons, it states, it's as if he's mischayev benafshoy. It's as if he is guilty with his very life. Guard your life carefully. Now, what does this mean? So the Maral says as follows. When someone studies Torah, he should know that is the very essence of life, because the Torah binds him to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. By studying Torah, there can be no greater Dveikus L'Hashem, cleaving to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there can be no greater Ishachtus, uniting himself to Hashem. This is true with all mitzvahs, but Torah is the greatest level. With all mitzvahs, he is binding himself to Hashem. With Torah, he's coming to the essence of very life. When we say, Ki hem chayecho v'erech yomecho, this is your life, this is not a mere phrase. This is life. Because this Torah is bound to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and all life comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, with every phase of Devar Torah, of the words of Torah that a person gains, he is adding life to himself. That's the nefesh. He's growing, and his life is becoming greater. With every word that he forgets through negligence of that sort, he is losing that nefesh. And that's what it means. He's shomer lecho, es nafshecho mi'od, guard your life carefully. Because if you forget your Torah, you will be losing your life. And malal avakosov ki ilu ischayev v'nafshoy. It's as if a person took his life from himself. With every devar Torah that he gains, he is being mosif, he is adding life to himself. With every devar Torah that he loses, he is losing that degree of life. That's why ein morim. Chas v'sholom, a person should reach a level and then go down. He is destroying his own life. Or if it's an article, he is destroying the sanctity that was in that article. And therefore the Chazal said, be very careful. Do everything in a way that you'll constantly be malim, not that you will be maridin. And the Maral says further also, because when a person doesn't is careless with his Torah and he's not drawn after it, that shows that the bond between him and the Torah and the bond between him and Hashem is very loose. So he's distancing himself. And he's falling away from that source of life. Now, this explains to us the halacha of ein marid, that a person has to be very, very careful, that from whatever level that he's at, he should be careful not to go down. But we said even more. We brought from the Gemara that the Chachomim even frowned on remaining in the same level. In other words, you have to constantly work on being malin, going upward, not staying on the same level. What's the reason of that? And that is another Mishnah Masechet Ovis. The Mishnah Masechet Ovis in Perek Aleph, Mishnah Yud Gimel, tells us, Hillel said, who are your Emer? Nogat Shmo, Avat Shmo. If a person's name is becoming great, he has to be very careful, because that could be right before his downfall. But this is not relevant to us now. It's the second halacha. Delemesif Yosef. Hillel said that a person who is not Mosif, who does not increase his learning, Yosef will diminish his life. If a person doesn't constantly increase his learning, in other words, constantly add to his learning, where he's always learning something new, be it in depth or in volume, where he's trying always to learn more, where he's trying to increase the quality. If a person doesn't keep doing that, Yosef, he will shorten his life. Now, what is the explanation of that? So Anet the Maral says, when it comes to Kedusha, this world, it's impossible for a person to remain stationary. Because being that is a Bal Adoma, being that his natural habitat is here in the earth, the earth is constantly drawing him to itself. And if a person just remains stationary, he will be drawn back to the earth. In order to be dovak, to cleave to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to cleave to his Torah or through his mitzvahs, he constantly has to labor enormously. He constantly has to ascend. Once he stops ascending, the earth will suck him back and draw him back. And that's why Hillel said, Mandalay Mosif. If a person is the type that just rides the waves and rides the currents and just carries on learning, but doesn't constantly try every day or every week that I have to understand this better, I have to work harder, I have to do more, he will not stay in the same place. The earth will suck him back to it, to itself. And in the earth there's no life. The life comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, Mandalay Meisif, Yosef, he who will not constantly labor to climb, to grow his years of his life will be diminished. Actually, the Gemara is Maramis, what we said, in the Gemara in Brochas, Daf Nun Hei Omer Aleph, in Per Karoya. Rabbi Yehuda Eimer, Gimel Dvorim Mekatzrin Yomav Ushneisav Shel Odom. Three things shorten the years and the days and the years of a person's life. Two are relevant to us. Misha Neisen Lekes Levorech Ve'enem Avorech. Someone who is offered the cup to bench with and make the brocha, and he refrains. And that's because he shows he's not interested in brocha. So he's merachik, he's marchik et tzatzma. He distances himself from brocha. Brocha is the source of brocha, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How can you have life if you distance yourself from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And the second is, Misha neisen le sefer Torah likra is ve'eino kerei. You give a sefer Torah to someone and he doesn't read from it. In other words, you give a sefer to someone and he doesn't learn from it. What does that show? That he distances himself from Torah. Torah is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's distancing himself from life. Tekatzum Yomav. Then his days are shortened. So from here, we learn that a person must constantly be maling. In other words, you have to start in a small level in order to reach a higher level. Once you reach the higher level, you can't remain there. Otherwise you fall back when it comes to the world of Kedusha. So you have to constantly be maling, ascending. And if a person is yared, if a person goes downward, he's destroyed parts of himself. Because this is what he had when he was there. This is what Rav Shimon ben Yochai said, Re'isi b'nei aliyah v'heimu otim. The great Rav Shimon ben Yochai said, I have seen those people that are b'nei aliyah. What's a b'nei aliyah he called? People who constantly want growth. Constantly want growth. Now we're not talking about growth. If you listen to the business report, they'll talk about growth in money. See? We're not talking about growth in money. See? That's easy. That's this world. You can go to sleep and you can become wealthy too. Fact is, I think most people become wealthy that way because they don't have anything, any jurisdiction over the stock market. Go to sleep and they wake up and they find out they're wealthy. Not talking about that. But Rishi b'nei Aliyah, I have seen those who constantly want growth. They're always striving for growth. And he says, and those are the best. Aval heimu otim. But they are few and far between. Because most people, at best, they're riding the waves. At worst, they're even married. Go down. A number of times people have come to me and they said, you know, I've been going to shul for 25 years. I've been listening to the rabbi's drosh every Shabbos and I don't feel I've grown in the whole 25 years. It's no reflection on the rabbi, it's a reflection on the person, you see. Can't have tainas, you can't have complaints on the Sefer Torah. They feel I haven't grown in 25 years. And Samus is true. And growing, not like in this world, takes enormous amelos, enormous labor, all of the time. A person is not allowed to rest in this world. It says resting will be in the grave, the next world. My older brother, he should be well, he studied in Chaim Berlin by Rav Huttner, Rav Yitzchak Huttner, Zichrein Levracha. So he took me once, I was in New York, to meet him. Went to meet Rav Huttner. So Rav Huttner starts to beam and smile. He says, it's especially in those days in America, it's so good to see young B'nai Torah growing. So then he says, it reminds him that Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, it says, used to have in the Beis HaMedrash, in the yeshiva, flowers. Lumen, he would say, flowers. So the Talmidim should see that flowers grow every day. That's how a person has to grow. Every day he must labor to grow. Now, these two principles are extremely important. That first principle that we said, that you must start at the lowest point all of the time in order to reach the highest point. Even if you reach the highest point yesterday, we see. Because every day we put on our talis first and then the tefillah. You always have to go back in order to reach it. And you can never come to a higher level without, first, can't come to step 5 without step 4 and step 3. And this, the Gaon emphasizes this all of the time. Now, Halavai, unfortunately, our generation doesn't understand this. You got people that they think that Gemara is something easy to learn, Torah is easy to learn. So anybody can jump into it. Mitzvahs are easy, so anybody can jump into it. It takes enormous, enormous preparation, enormous learning, enormous avoda. You got people who never learned, they're learning Daf Yomi. Other people never learned, they're learning Gemara, they're learning Shas. The Medrash says, Ben Chomesh Lemikro, 5 years first on Chumash, another 5 years on Mishnah. After 10 years, then you could start Gemara. There's a Medrash that says, Shlema Melech said, Achas me elef motzosi, 1 out of 1,000 I have found. Moses, what's he talking about? Elef nichnes lemikro, 1,000 go to learn Chumash, 1,000 children. 100 will be capable to leave there to go to learn Mishnah. 100 will go to learn Mishnah. 10 will be capable to go to yeshiva, to learn Gemara. 10 will go to yeshiva. 1 will come out lahiro. 1 will come out as a rov, to be made a herob Israel. Achas me elef motzosi. 1 out of 1,000 I have found. This is always the old era. Because they knew, what are we playing here? This is a book written by children. This is the Teres Hashem. A person can learn 1,000 years and he's hardly scratched the surface. They understood this in the old days. And the same thing with mitzvahs. This is why consistently a person who is just starting out, he performed the mitzvah simply. A person who was greater, he put more into the mitzvah. A great person, he started to be mahadar a bit, a little hidur. A gon hador, he made a chumrah. Even the G'dayle Ador many times would say, what? Chumras, hidurim for me? It's not for me. Today you have people talking about Kabbalah. Sam Sefer writes, Kabbalah, only Esekim and Nistoris. Sam Sefer was the Vilna Gaon of the West. In the West, in Hungary, and in Austria, they held him greater than the Vilna Gaon. Someone wrote him a shaila and he wanted to bring him a raya from Kabbalah. He says, you're asking me Kabbalah? Me? And what do I have to do with Kabbalah? Because they knew the Derech HaGidl. You start with step one. Once you've conquered step one, you go to step two. Once you've conquered step two, you go to step three. Today we got a door. You have people that are new to Yiddishkeit. They're trying already the 100th step. Or you got other people that learned a little. It's a churban. So that's a very, very important point. So these principles are very, very important. And that's what Beis Hillel says. He's told Beis Shammai, no, you start at the lowest level. Every Hanukkah, you want to come to the Nes of Hanukkah, you start with one candle. One candle. Someone comes along, I should start with one candle. Me, one candle. One candle. Then you can go to two. Not to three or four, to two. Then you can go to three. Then you'll come to eight. And the Vilna Gaon consistently writes about this. This is how he was Kena. This is how he gained all his levels. Now there's a further Gemara on this. The Gemara Masechet Menachos brings in, after they speak of this, a few other principles which seem to be totally unrelated. But now we'll be able to understand them very well. Immediately after this case of how do we know this principle, Malin Bekodesh, Ve'en Meriden, the Gemara brings Asher Shibata V'samtem Bo'oren. Kodesh Baruch Hu in Devarim Perek Yud, Kodesh Baruch Hu told Moshe that the tablets which you broke, place in the Oren HaKodesh. Now the question. There were the tablets which Moshe broke, and then there were the second tablets, which he wrote again. Kodesh Baruch Hu wrote. Second tablets are in the Oren HaKodesh. Why do we need the first tablets in the Oren HaKodesh? The first tablets Moshe broke. Let's chuck them out. No. Samtem be'oren, they must also be in the oren. Toni Rabbi Yosef Malamit Shahaluchais Vishivrei Luchais Munochin Be'oren Mikam the Talmud Chochem Sheshochach Talmudei Machmas Einsoi She'ein Neigen Vei Minik B'Zoin. From here we learn that what happens if there's a Talmud Chacham and he becomes old? And when he becomes old, he starts to forget in his older days. He forgets his Torah. That's a Yerida. That's Morid. He's lost. So he's no longer a Talmud Chacham. Many times you meet, it's happened to with me, I've met great Gedele Hador, but in their old age, and they couldn't even remember what Masechta they're learning. So they're Meridin. So maybe we'll think they're no longer a Talmud Chacham. No. This Yerida that we're speaking about is when it's because of the person. But if it's because of circumstances beyond his control, no. Then he retains that level. And therefore, from here we learn that a Talmud Chacham then forgets his Torah. But because of sickness or because of his old age, you have to give him the same honor that you gave him when he was a great Talmud Chacham. Because we see that the first tablets, which Moshe broke, were placed in the same Oron HaKodesh that the second tablets were. Then we have another case, Omar Esh Lokish. Pomim Shebitule Shel Torah Zehu Yisoda. We're speaking the whole time that heaven forbid we should bring down, we should be married. Esh Lokish says there is a time, however, though, that we have to be married, we have to bring down. Sometime, there are some times where Torah can only be reestablished if it's brought down. And there, not only is it permissible, but it must be done. Where is that? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, the Luchos Asher Shibarta, which you broke, Omer Le HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe Yesha Keichacho Shishibarta. HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Moshe broke the Luchos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me Yashu Keach. He says, good that you broke it. Now this was Morid. He took the Luchos that had set sanctity, and he broke them. Kodesh Baruch Hu gave me Yashikeach. Because from this beetle will come Torah again. Had Moshe not broken them, he saw, the Maral explains, Rashi has one shot, the Maral learns a different shot, but the Maral explains, Moshe saw that the people did not want the Torah. And if people do not want the Torah, they don't deserve the Torah. And you must not give them the Torah. The whole nation went away from the Torah. And Moshe held back the Torah until they were ready and they wanted it. That saved the Torah. Because had Moshe given them Torah then, they would have disgraced the Torah. So there's a time when we must even be married, bring down the sanctity of the Torah. He broke the Torah. Bitulai, this dissolution of the Torah, Zehu Yesoda, this will bring a foundation to the Torah again. So there are certain times when we must be married. So that's what the Gemara brings here. Now one final point. And that is, by Hanukkah specifically, there is a reason why Beis Hillel is saying, start with one and slowly ascend to eight. The miracle of Hanukkah was a very, very high level miracle. The war of Hanukkah was against the Yevonim, the Greek nation. The Greek nation, the Chazal tell us, were the greatest chachomim of all times. They had the greatest wisdom in the world. Im yesh chochma bagoyim tami. If someone tells you there is wisdom in the nations, believe them. There is enormous wisdom by the nations of the world. We see it. See? We see it in the physical sciences. And so on. We see their science. We see their music. We see their architecture, their engineering, their astronomy. They've gone to the moon, they're going to Mars. On the second, precision. We see the high-tech communications. There's enormous wisdom in the nations of the world. The fact is, we're chay in a brocha, we're obligated in a brocha. When you see a wise person from the nations of the world, you have to say a brocha. It was because of that wisdom that they wanted to destroy the Torah. Because they were so wise, they saw the wisdom of the Torah. And they were jealous of it. And they didn't want anything over them. And they couldn't come to Torah. The Chazal say, "Im yemaloch odem yesh Torah bagoyim, al tami." If anyone will tell you this Torah by the nations, no, do not believe them. They will never have Torah. Chochmah is the wisdom and the sciences of the physical creation. That they will have. But the wisdom beyond the physical creation, that they will not have. And they knew this. And that's why, if we can't have it, we will destroy it. By other nations, it didn't bother them. You have to be a chochem to appreciate what Torah is. Tells the Rosh Yeshiva Ramotl used to say. He says, if somebody is a tippish, a fool, how can he come to Torah? He says, if someone has no appreciation for wisdom, what's his shaychus to Torah? Why does he come to Torah? They had such insight and appreciation to wisdom, they saw the value of the Torah. They tried to get it, they couldn't get it. Therefore, they wanted to destroy it. And it states, "V'timu es haheichel, v'timu kol hashmonim shebeheichel." They got all the way. They went all the way to the heichel, to the sanctuary, and they made impure the entire sanctuary and all of the oil in the sanctuary that was for the menorah. But further than the heichel, they didn't get. What was further than the Heichel? That's the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the innermost sanctuary. Now, what does the Heichel represent and what does the Kodesh HaKadoshim represent? In the Heichel, in the Kodesh, is the menorah. The menorah in the Beis HaMikdash had 7 candles, not 8, 7. That represented this world. This world was created in 7 days. The Kodesh HaKadoshim states there was nothing in the Kodesh HaKadoshim except the Oren. And in the Oren was only rock, the Torah, and the tablets and the broken tablets. That represented the Torah, the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Torah was the source of light that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings into the world. The Oren, the Chazal tell us, was called Oren because it was kula or, all light. And that's not this world. That's beyond the 7 days of creation. Torah was created before. Fact is, it states that the Oren didn't take up any dimensions in the Kodesh. If you were to measure all of the room in the Kodesh, it was the complete measurement of the Kodesh as if the Oren wasn't there. Because that already was bilti gashmi. That was beyond the physical world. It wasn't, the Maral writes, by coincidence, that they reached the Heichel, but they couldn't go further. They reached the greatest levels of the wisdom of the creation, but further they couldn't go. And it was from that level that the miracle came. Because Klal Yisrael were ready to give their lives for the wisdom of the Torah and the mitzvahs of the Torah, and they bound themselves to the Torah, that's how they overpowered the Greeks. And that's where the miracle came from. Therefore, when the light came out from the Oren into the menorah, even though the menorah had only 7 candles, the miracle lasted for 8 days. Because 8 days is already beyond the creation of the world. That's the level of Torah. Like we see that when Torah was given, we counted 7 weeks, 49 days, and in the 8th week, Shavuos, the Torah was given. That's why this miracle was from the very greatest miracles that we have, and it lasted 8 days. So here in particular, Beis Hillel is saying, you want to come to such a level, see, you want to appreciate such a miracle, you want the person has to rise up with the miracle, he says, then you have to maskil ba'echot, you have to start with one candle. Then you go to the second one, then you go to the third one, till you reach the 8th. Shemalin bekodesh ve'ein meridin. That when it comes to levels of Kedusha, there we have to constantly strive to ascend and to grow, and not to descend. A Birchas Simchas Chanukah, even though it's still a few weeks off to everyone here, and we also take this opportunity to wish everyone a very, very good break. If you're traveling, please travel safely and return safely. And to all of our Talmidim, to come back refreshed for the new month. All of the very best.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.